Well, good morning. I'd like to talk to you about dogs today. I've got a couple dogs at my house, and I had one of them do something this week that I thought was pretty amusing and different, and then had noticed them doing something that's a pretty typical dog thing. So been thinking about dogs a little bit, and I realized that dogs aren't very complicated creatures. Some of you have had dogs. Maybe you've had them in the house. Maybe you've just had an outside dog. That's the kind of dogs I like, is outside dogs. And, you know, a dog is something that has emotions to some extent. I can hurt my dog's feelings, and you can see it in the expression in their face. Their eyes can kind of change a little bit, and maybe their posture changes a little bit, and maybe their tail goes down, and just there's things that change, and you know you've kind of hurt their feelings a little bit. And but I say a dog is pretty simple because, you know, I have a dog that if I go out on the deck at the back of my house to sit down and put my work shoes on in the morning, he always wants to put his face right in my face when I bend over to tie my shoes. And I don't like that. I've pushed him away a bunch of times. I would say hundreds of times, but maybe not that many. But anyway, it's a lot of times I push him away. I say, no, I like you, but not that good. I push him away. Sometimes I kind of slap on his nut muzzle a little bit. But every time I go to put my shoes on, he comes out there and he wants to put his nose right up in my face. And if I'm not careful, he'll lick me. And I don't like that either. So, but he always comes back. So he's not, you know, I think we would learn. Don't stick your face in their face just because they bend over, you know. Don't do that. But a dog is pretty simple. He's got one thing in mind. He wants to be close to you. He likes you, so he thinks that you ought to like him just like the same way. But anyway, I've been kind of amused or amazed at how many times dogs are mentioned in the scripture. But you know, they're never mentioned in this elevated position. You know, dogs are always beneath us. Okay? So, I'd like to read some of those verses, and I just want us to, have you ever heard of something just going to the dogs? You ever heard that expression? It means things are getting bad, doesn't it? It means things are deteriorating. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, life can go to the dogs. All right? Our fulfillment in life, our happiness, our sense of achievements, and all the things that we aspire to have in life can go to the dogs. So I'd like to look at a few verses here in Exodus, the 11th chapter. I just want to paint us a picture of how less than ideal it is to be dog-like. All right? I hope you keep that in mind. I want us to realize, I'll say that again, how less than ideal it is to be dog-like. So, not that you can't have a good dog, all right? But dogs aren't people, and dogs aren't complicated. They're just pretty simple, basic critters. In Exodus, the 11th chapter, I want to read the 7th verse. God is speaking here to the children of Israel. He says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord hath put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." So we're talking about the Israelites are in the position of and in the process of gaining the opportunity to leave Egypt. Okay? And where the setting here is the setting where the plagues were coming against the Egyptians, and there were the firstborn is being threatened by the death angel. And one of the characteristics that one of the commentators said about this verse was, when there is a mortality in a household, probably especially in years past where the dogs might have lived, you know, in the house or more closely associated, the dogs many times will howl. And can you imagine what it was like when the Passover came and the death angel went through Egypt, and all of the firstborn, not only of the Egyptians, but all of their livestock was taken? And can you imagine the howling that might have been going on by the dogs? And I think it would have been quite a scene to behold. And the verse here says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, no howling amongst the Israelites." Why? Because if they were obedient to the word of the Lord and observed the Passover, then the death angel didn't visit them. So the dogs didn't howl. Their dogs didn't howl. But the dog here is still just a animal far beneath the man. And it's something that responds to very simple and very basic stimulus. All right? Pretty simple. Grief, howl. You know, pretty consistent behavioral pattern to observe. All right? So I'd like to go to 1 Samuel now, the 17th chapter. I'm trying to establish how that a dog is simple. It's maybe you've got one that can do some tricks and all of that, but a dog is not a complicated and if they can do some pretty disgusting things, all right? We'll even read about that. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, in the 43rd verse, David going out here against Goliath, I believe, and he says, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog?" What? "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Am I something that's just insignificant? Am I something so basic, so beneath you that, what do you think you're doing? Are you trying to classify me as just an old dog? You see what I'm saying? Dogs, things going to the dogs. The Philistine says, "Well, the way you're coming out here to do battle with me, it's like you think I'm just a dog, but I'm somebody. I'm a giant, you see. I'm a Philistine. I've got armor on. You're not equipped to handle me." That's what Goliath was saying. He said, "Did you think that the way you're coming, it's like you would treat an old dog?" All right? So in 1 Samuel 24... we'll notice another verse here. I hope I'm not offending anybody if you've got a special dog. 24 and 14 of 1 Samuel, he says, "And after whom is the king of Israel come out?" Well, what are you coming out? The enemy here is asking. He says that after whom is the king of Israel come out? David, I believe, is speaking to Saul. I think I've got this story right. After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? You know, you think that I'm not very important here. Just a dog or a flea. You know, that's below a dog, isn't it? Just a negative concept of where a dog's stature is. All right, that's what I want us to get a hold of here this morning. And then in 2 Samuel 2 Samuel 9, I'm sorry, and verse 8. I want to look there. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 8. And this is after David is being established as a as king, and maybe I'll read up here a little above this, beginning in the 6th verse. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" So Mephibosheth told David, I'm really just like a dog. I'm just really pretty low. I'm not worth a whole lot. Okay, I'm just an insignificant part of society. And David said, "I'm going to restore land to you, and you're going to eat with me in my table." And he says, "What Mephibosheth said to David, I'm really just like a dog, just a dog, not important." Not prestigious. You know, I'm not on the same plane as you are. I'm really just like an old dog. All right? In 2 Samuel 16 and 9 is where we want to go now. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And maybe we'll read up above this a little bit too. Beginning of verse 5, "And when King David came to Baram, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on the right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom under the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.' And this said Abishai the son of Zerah unto the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head.'" So, the setting here, Absalom has created an insurrection and has set himself up as king. And now there's a confrontation, and this man is cursing David, the king. And one of David's associates says to the king, "Why should this dead dog, somebody that's way beneath you, why should he be allowed to talk to you like that? You just give me the approval and I'll go take him out." All right, that's maybe the way we would say something like that. He's nothing but a dog. Just an old dog. So, a dog is something way beneath humanity, all right? They're pretty simple. They can be really crude. Let's go to Proverbs 26 when we're talking about crude. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. And I want us to notice here what it says. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You ever seen that in real life? I have. That's about disgusting, isn't it? Now, I told you we're just talking about a dog and how I want us to see how undesirable dog-like characteristics are. All right? This particular thing right here, I don't ever want to do that. I'm not tempted, and you're not either, I'm sure. But it says here, just like he's comparing a foolish man, to a dog. It's pretty absurd to think that a fool would become strengthened in his own foolishness. Just like, why would a dog? I mean, if it disagreed with you that bad that you throwed it up, why would you go eat it again? I mean, that's dog-like, isn't it? That's gross. That's disgusting. That's so undesirable of a behavior. The people, the situations we've read about so far, we're trying to paint a picture of how undesirable a dog-like nature is, right? Now, in Revelations, the 22nd chapter, we have another reference to dogs. Let's go to Revelations chapter 22. And we'll read maybe the 14th verse and 15th. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. I believe he's talking about those that that do the will of the Lord, and they have access to heaven and to salvation and to being part of God's kingdom. And 15th verse says, for without are dogs. If you're not willing to follow God's commandments and you don't follow His path for life, the other alternative is going to the dogs. He says, for without are dogs. And listen to what He's associated the dogs with. It says, for without are dogs and sorcerers. That's the people that dabble in things like witchcraft and stuff like that. And whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So if we're not willing to follow the plan God has for us, then the alternative is it's going to the dogs. Without our dogs. I don't want to go there. I don't want to return to vomit. I don't want to be something that's looked down on and is so undesirable is a characteristic trait. I like to have a dog around, but I'll tell you some of the things I've observed this week. I took my dirty clothes, to go back to work. Had a clothes hamper and dirty uniforms. I took them outside and just set them out towards the direction of the vehicle, and I went and checked on my water for my cows and checked the wood furnace that's outside and all of that. And I was going to come back and get that and put it in my truck. Well, on my way back, my dog didn't see me. And he come from his place that he'd spent the night, and he was coming around towards the house, and he seen that thing out there. He didn't know what it was. And his hair come up on the back of his neck and all down his back, and he started growling and kind of barking at that thing. And so he didn't hear me, and he didn't know I was behind him, and I kind of snuck up behind him and kind of spooked him a little bit. And he spun around and snapped at me. This was something, just a simple dog nature. But he's so He's seen this thing and it was unusual, and he just began to growl. This is not right. It shouldn't be there in my yard. You know, it's right up there close to where I get some scraps sometimes, and that ain't supposed to be there. So he started growling, and he was kind of creeping up on that thing. Well, just a dog, you see. And then the other morning I got up and looked out the window, and I seen my dogs running. The little dog it loves to hunt. And it come running along the fence, and it's coming up from the creek area, and I thought, now I wonder what they're running after. And about that time I seen a rabbit run by my window, and it run up the fence row. And here come the little dog. It was the head of the big dog, and he was running along with his nose on the ground, and he would run a little ways, and he'd circle this fence post and run a little further and circle another fence post, and the rabbit was gone. I have no idea where he was at. But he had his nose to the ground like a dog, you see, and he wasn't seeing where the rabbit was going. I think it wasn't in the brush pile and anything like that. If he would have just lifted his head and looked, he could have seen the rabbit and chased it. But instead, he had his nose to the ground, just like a dog, and he was sniffing along and milling around this post and around that post, and the rabbit got away. Now, I'm pretty sure that if my dogs had caught the rabbit, they would have ate it. All right? They're that kind of dogs. And the big dog comes loping behind, you know, whatever he trees, I'm going to help him get. And just acting like dogs. And they were not being productive. Now, I know there's better hunting dogs than what I've got, but they were just dogs, you see. I want us to get the idea that if we're not careful in our lives, we'll start acting like dogs. We'll get our nose on the ground. We know there's something out there that could, because we get a whiff of it. I think those dogs could smell that rabbit. And I think that they had an idea about going to get that rabbit, but they had their nose on the ground, and these same dogs could have ate something very disgusting and got rid of it out of their digestive system and turned around, maybe walked around the house and come back and thought, yum, I'll take that again. We can do that kind of thing too. We can take something in and think, I don't agree with me, and we can get rid of it. Maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually. And we can just get rid of it. And if we're not careful, we'll walk around the block and say, wow, that looks pretty good. I think I'll try it again. Just like an old dog. If we're not, we didn't learn very much, you see. But we've got to be careful in our own hearts and lives that we don't start acting like an old dog. Like a dead dog or a flea or something like that. Something way beneath what God intends us to be. In our walk with Him, in our everyday life with one another. God doesn't intend us to be a dog. If He did, He would give us a tail that wags and a taste buds that didn't work, and He'd give us a lot of stuff like a dog, you see. But we're not made that way. He intended for us to walk on our back legs and stand upright. He intended for us to have a clear mind and to be able to learn behavior of not getting up too close when somebody don't like the smell of our breath. He expected us to learn those things. And a dog never gets the message. You know, he'll come back, he can eat something that's dead down in the driveway and come up there and just be ready to lick me while I'm putting my shoes on. And that is disgusting. I don't like that. But God don't intend for us to act like that. He intends for us to be higher than that, to be able to stand upright, to learn behavior that is conducive of us having long-term, peaceable, productive relationships. You know, I would really like for... I've got a bull at the house. This is one of the most, I don't know who taught him this, but if I go out in the pasture with a bucket of feed, now, y'all know what's fixing to happen. If I go out with a bucket of feed, he will stand still until I pour it out in the feed trough, and then he comes up to the feed trough. And he generally comes to the opposite side of the trough. Now, I wish my dog would learn how to behave like the bull does. I wish that he would just sit about 3 feet away from me and just sit there and kind of grin at me like dogs do until I get my shoes tied and then come up and I would be happy to pet him and rub his head a little bit. But no, he wants to get right up in there when I'm bent over tying my shoelaces and put his nose up on my cheek. That's what he wants to do. And he won't learn because he's a dog. And we have to be careful that we don't become like that. God's got better things for us than that. And I want to tell you that I have found myself like the dogs that's chasing the rabbit in my life with my head down. I know there's something out there that I want and I'm running along with my nose on the ground and I'm not going to get what I want. And I don't want you to miss it either. I want us to shift gears a little bit. And I've found great encouragement and inspiration from what I feel like God would like for us to do. I'd like for us to turn to Genesis, the 13th chapter. And notice verse 14. Now, the setting here is that there had been some conflict between Abraham and Lot. And I don't like conflict. I don't like it at all. I like for things to be happy ever after. And there had been some conflict. And Abraham, being the older of the two, more mature of the two, probably was thinking about the long-term welfare of Lot. And I believe he had a lot of sadness in his heart, wishing that there hadn't have been conflict. You ever been there? I have. I've been there, wishing that there had never been any conflict, wishing that it had not got to the place that it was. And in verse 14 it says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him." You know, no matter how much disagreement there was, and no matter how much understanding that they had come to between the two of them, realizing that to separate was the best thing, it was still painful. Yeah. All right? So, after that Lot was separated him, this is what the Lord said unto him, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." That's a promise, isn't it? But how was he able to take that in? It's not by being a dog and keeping his head down on the ground. He says, "Lift up thine eyes." Lift up your eyes. So I want to challenge us today to not be like the old dog with your head down, sniffing around the T-post. I want to say, lift up your eyes. Look and see what the Lord wants us to see. He says, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art." Look wherever you are in life. Lift up your eyes and look and see what the Lord, I want to be able to do that. Because I feel like I'm far too susceptible to be more like a dog. I don't want to be like that. I want to be what God intends me to be. I want to be able to lift up my eyes and see the land that the Lord would like to give us. Not necessarily literal land, but the territory that he had liked for us to possess and to conquer. I'd like to turn now to Genesis, the 18th chapter. Read another place. And the Lord appeared, in verse 1, unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Wondered what he was going on in his mind. I'll tell you a little bit. Ishmael had been born, but he didn't have a son by Sarah yet. You know, when things aren't realized, you can be kind of gloomy, be kind of down. And it says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. I don't know what commentators would say about this, but I'm just thinking, why would you sit in the doorway in the heat of the day? That sounds like a hot place. I think his mind was somewhere else. I think he was somewhat discouraged. That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what comes to my mind. You ever been in a place where maybe the temperature didn't seem to matter too much, but you was discouraged? And you were just sitting and allowing things to just run over and over in your mind? That's being a dog. God don't want us to be there. He don't want us to stay there. He's got something better for us. He lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. Wonder where they come from. Well, you know what? When you're sitting with your head down, things can sneak up on you. And I'm not sure if he had his head down in his hands. I don't know. But he said he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he looked up. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and there stood three men by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Did you know that if we will take the initiative to lift up our eyes and look, God might have something for us. You know, God had something for Abraham here. And these three men turned out to be what? Messengers from God, did they not? And they reinstated, if you will, they verified a promise that God had given him. And Abraham was able to move forward with that. And before this, I believe that Abraham, at least figuratively, had his head down like an old dog. And if we're not careful, we'll get our heads down like an old dog, sniffing around the post, losing track of what we could have had for supper. All right? So I'd like to look at another one in Psalms 121. This seems to be a little more spiritual sense. David had times to feel down and discouraged and depressed and all of those things. But let's look here in Psalms 121 and verse 1. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I will lift up mine eyes. You know, you got a decision in this. And I'm going to tell you that every one of us here is not a dog. Every one of us here have the capability of lifting up your eyes, your spiritual eyes. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which make heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So if you've got your head down this morning, I want you to lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Lift up your eyes. Allow the Lord to give you a vision of help, of answers to your prayers. Lord, help me to take hold of that. Might turn the page, maybe it's not even turning the page in your Bible, but it's Psalms 123. He says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. So he says, I'm going to lift up my eyes to thee that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden into the hand of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. We're feeling like a dog. We're feeling down and low and discouraged and all of those things. He said, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. We feel so pressed down by everything that's going on around us. But he says, unto thee lift up mine eyes. So I want to challenge us today with the help of the Lord, myself included, lift up your eyes. Don't be acting like an old dog. Don't be eating your vomit. Don't be losing track of the things that are there for us. Don't be like something that's so beneath the poverty line that you can't even hold your head up. The Lord's got something better for us. We don't have to act like a dog. We don't have to have dog-like characteristics. We can lift up our eyes to the Lord, and He can raise us up, set us on a higher plane. John, the 4th chapter, I want to end with a verse that Jesus, something that Jesus said. Fourth chapter of St. John. We'll begin maybe 33rd verse. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Because Jesus said, I've got things to eat that you know not of. Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So I want to say this. You know, the enemy would like for us to think like a dog, and look around and see the things that look different and be fearful. And we can act like my old dog that got his hair all standing up, began to growling at something that was different. It began to be alarmed because it wasn't what he expected to see. And it wasn't dark. I was really surprised that I thought he seen something that I didn't see. But he's seen my dirty clothes. And he got all distressed about it. He was really alarmed about that. You know, we can see something that we're not, that we don't think it ought to be that way. And we can get real distressed and start growling and being alarmed. And we can get our nose down on the ground and run along and lose it. Those dogs didn't have any rabbit for dinner. He said, say not, there's 4 months to harvest, and then 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they're white, already to harvest. There are many, many souls out there that need to know about the love of Jesus. There are many, many souls that need to know that God cares for them and that He wants to help them. I don't have a master plan to know how to reach them all. But I don't want us to be discouraged in reaching out to those, the lost and the dying world that's around us. I want us to be equipped, and I don't want us to act like a pack of dogs. A pack of dogs will get into more mischief than one dog will. And you know, and if we all start acting like a bunch of dogs, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. But if we'll lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, and be able to see the harvest that's out there that the Lord wants us to be part of, I believe the Lord has got something for every one of us individually, and I believe He's got something for us collectively as a group of people. Lord, help us to be inspired to lift up our eyes and to look and see the reinforcement that God can give us. You pray for me.